Please turn with me in your Bibles to the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians, chapter 6 and verse 16. Ephesians, chapter 6 and verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And our subject this evening is the shield of faith. Well, we continue in our series through the letter to the Ephesians, and of course, specifically at the present time, through the armor of God. And we have come now to the fourth piece of the armor. We've had the belt of truth. We've had the breastplate of righteousness. Last week we looked at the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, which, just to remind you, spoke of our readiness and our willingness to go out with the gospel, our willingness to fight the good fight of faith, our willingness and our readiness to honor God. But the great prerequisite that we needed to fight, to take part in the spiritual warfare, was peace. So there was that paradox, remember, in order to fight in this war, in this spiritual war, we needed peace, first of all. Peace with God, peace with His Word, peace with His will for our lives. If there are difficult things that we must live through, and if there are difficult things that we must experience, well, we overcome them. We surmount them because we have this footwear, and remember the Roman sandal was so thick enough to overcome any obstacle. If a Roman soldier was to tread on a briar or a thorn or any sharp stone, he would not feel it because his sandal was so thick. It was a protection for him. And so too for us in the Christian life, because we have peace with God, we can overcome any setback in our lives, any obstacle in our lives, any setback in the church, in the gospel ministry, because we have peace with the will of the Lord. And of course, the peace that the Lord gives us is far greater than the peace of this world. It's a peace that the world cannot give. It's a peace of sins forgiven. It's that peace that all really will be well, because all things work together for good. We know that all will be well forever, not just well for a certain time when the worldling speaks to his friends and speaks words of peace. Well, it can only be for a short time, of course. And even then, there is no conviction. Peace is so fleeting in this world, but our peace, all will be well forever if we trust in the Lord, and our peace no man can take away from us. We have everlasting life, and even death cannot disturb our peace. If the worst comes, we enter into the most joyous peace we could ever comprehend and perceive of. But now we come to the fourth item, the fourth piece of the armor, which is the shield of faith. Now, as we know, as I've constantly been saying, every piece of the armor is important, and every piece, well, they must be taken together, not just one part taken and another neglected. Each part must be put on and applied, the whole panoply of God. But if there is one piece in particular that maybe we can attach a little more importance to, it is this one. because this piece in particular must be applied to make any of the others useful or effective. We're speaking, of course, about faith. Faith has a direct bearing, a direct impact or effect, if I can put it that way, on all the other pieces. Faith is so important. And the shield, if we are just to bring it back to the historical context, the shield for a Roman soldier was, of course, essential. It was barely worth going out into the battlefield if you did not have your shield. Yes, you would have your armor, of course, but you would feel very, very vulnerable without the shield. It wasn't a small object in the days of the Roman soldier and the Roman Empire. It was large enough to cover the whole body, or at least one whole side of the body. It was not a small thing. It was often made of wood, and it very often actually resembled a door. It was more like a door rather than a shield, a large door. So it was big enough to cover the whole body. So you would be very well protected. You needed it. It was an essential piece of the armor to go into the battlefield. No soldier would dare going into that battlefield without the shield. And we have, of course, if we're going to apply this spiritually, we have many verses in the scriptures that teach us how God is a shield for us. And we read this constantly. We read this even in Psalm 84, which we read earlier, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield." That was in verse 11 of Psalm 84. And in Psalm 5, verse 12, "For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor. Thou wilt compass him as with a shield." A shield, that is a wonderful illustration, speaks of protection, speaks of defense. The Lord is our defense. Psalm 18 and verse 30, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him." And some of you will know that buckler is another word for a shield, a little smaller than a Roman shield, but it's a shield nonetheless. So this is how the Lord presents himself so often in the Bible, a shield that is a vital protection in the spiritual battle, in the spiritual warfare. But he is a buckler, he is a shield to all those that trust in him. So we must have faith. If we are to truly know the Lord as our protector, if we are to truly know the benefits of his protection in our life, we must have faith. This is the shield of faith. The shield, in a sense, is worthless without faith, and so too are the other parts of the armor. Above all, says the Apostle Paul, he is perhaps, it's debatable, but he is perhaps attaching slightly more importance to this. This is faith that we are talking about. With everything else, with every other part, you must have faith. And faith, well, let's just speak about faith just for a few moments. Faith is vitally important. It goes without saying. It's almost a foolish thing to say for us as Christians. Do we have faith? It is, of course, by faith that we are saved, not by our works. This is what sets Christianity apart from all the other religions. Every other religion has an element of works, something that an adherent does to contribute to their salvation, something tangible that they want to present before God. But we have nothing except what? Our faith. That is what we bring to the Lord. And by the way, there is nothing meritorious about faith. There's nothing meritorious about faith. Now, what do I mean when I say that? What I mean is that our ability, if I can put it that way, our ability to have faith, or the expression of our faith, does not actually save us. Because, of course, some people don't have faith. We do. Does that mean we deserve it more than everyone else because we have faith? We're spiritual enough to have faith? No, it doesn't. There is nothing meritorious in our faith. Our faith does not save us. Faith is a gift of God, of course. It's not even produced by us. We cannot produce faith or muster faith. Faith is a gift of God. And faith is a receiving grace. It's a receiving grace. It doesn't offer anything to God. All it does is receive. It's like an outstretched hand, an empty outstretched hand. It doesn't give anything to God. There's nothing in your hand. Nothing in my hand I bring, but you have to receive the salvation of God. That's what we do. Or perhaps another illustration that is used. You have a cup, an empty cup. Well, the cup itself is not going to quench your thirst, but you need the cup to receive the water. It's the water that quenches your thirst, but you must have the cup to receive it. And so we too, we must have faith to receive the salvation. It's salvation that saves us. But we must have that faith. But there's nothing meritorious about our faith. We are not special because of our faith, as it were. It doesn't deserve our salvation. It receives the salvation of the Lord. And our faith, of course, knows that salvation is all of God. Our faith acknowledges that we are entirely dependent upon Him. That is what faith is. We have no strength of our own. So when we have faith, we believe in the almighty power of God, but we also believe that we are utterly unable to do anything without Him. That's part of our faith, our utter inadequacy. It's as much a part of our faith as believing that God is almighty and omnipotent. Our faith is believing that we can do nothing at all without God. And this is important because, we'll get to the part where we have to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. How does Satan overcome us so often? How does he do it? Well, because he wants you to fight on your own strength. On your own strength. That's what he provokes you to do. Don't trust in God. Don't go crying to God. You can resist this temptation by yourself. And so we try it and then we fail and then we constantly fall. But when we exercise faith, faith that God is almighty, He will help you, but also you cannot do anything at all without Him. You won't even try to look to your own strength. This is a great facet of faith. And faith, well, it looks to the Lord entirely and completely. We seek His strength, it's faith in an almighty God. Just as an extension of that, faith is a denial of oneself. I've just spoken about how we deny that we have any strength at all because we don't. But when we exercise faith, we must deny ourselves. You know, it is not natural by our nature. We don't like to exercise faith. By nature, we want to believe only the things that we can see. We want to see the results from our work. When things happen to us in our lives, we want to understand them. But faith, how does faith work? Well, we must deny ourselves all of those things. Even if we don't understand why things happen to us, we must still have faith. Even if we labor in the church, and I mentioned this last week, even if we labor in the church and we don't see any results, we must still have faith. So faith, really, it's a denial of oneself. We deny ourselves the right to always know why something is happening. Isn't that our instinct? If something happens in our lives, God, why is this happening? And if we don't understand, we get very upset. And we get very distracted. But it's a denial of ourselves. Faith does not require that we know every single reason and every single thing that happens to us. We simply have faith. And the Lord rewards faith. He always rewards faith. Faith is not sometimes rewarded. Faith is always rewarded. We read earlier from Hebrews 11, and we read of Abraham, the father of faith. What did he do? By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Well, you see again, Abraham, he had faith. He did not demand to know, Lord, where am I going? What is going to happen to me if I obey you? I want to see some results. I want some clear, perhaps a document, evidence that if I go out from Ur of the Chaldees, it is going to be worth my while. Did he say that to the Lord? No, he didn't. He went out not knowing whither he went. It was a denial of his own rights, as it were. I will just exercise faith, Lord. I don't need to know the reasons. I will just have faith. I will obey. And faith is always rewarded. Abraham was rewarded. Well, we won't go into all the details. You know them so well. But because of Abraham's faith, a nation was born of him, as numerous as the multitude of the stars in the sky, the sand on the seashore. Abraham, his faith was rewarded. Faith is always rewarded, dear friends, not sometimes. It's always rewarded. So we exercise faith. And faith, I have to add this, is versatile. Faith is versatile. Now, all the other pieces of the armor, they weren't versatile in the sense that they were only for one part of the body. So the breastplate is obviously for the chest, the feet, the sandal is obviously just for the feet, the helmet is obviously just for the head, but the shield, it was versatile. You could place it everywhere. Every part of the body could potentially be protected by faith. And so faith, the application is obvious. Faith is versatile in every situation. In every situation, we are to have faith. And well, this is very important. I always think upon the time of COVID and my greater worry and concern during that time was how little faith at times was actually shown. It was almost as though, well, this is not a time for faith. Now that this great danger has come, it's almost irresponsible to have faith. We can have faith when there's not a pandemic on, when everything is all right. But if there's a pandemic, there is no room for faith. That was wrong. That was wrong in my thinking and according to the Word of God. Faith is versatile. We must always apply it to every situation. And we trust in the Lord. Yes, of course, we wore the masks, we kept our distance, we had to do that, it was right to do that. But our faith shouldn't have been in those things. Our faith should have been in the Lord, who was over all things. And so faith, we should never be ashamed to have faith, even if when everyone mocks us for our faith. And faith is at times seen as immoral or irresponsible. Faith is versatile. It's for every situation. But dear friends, how can we cultivate faith? This is important. How can we cultivate faith? Well, we have the means of grace. We have the means that the Lord has given to believers. We have the Word of God, of course. Well, we read from Hebrews 11, if you lack faith, read that chapter, read it several times. You will learn what true faith is. You'll be blessed. We have prayer, of course. If you don't have faith, you pray for faith. Pray to the Lord for more faith. I know people even in this congregation who have prayed for faith and the Lord has given it to them. It seems so simple, and yet people forget. They spend all their time praying or complaining rather than praying for more faith, faith to see the reasons behind a certain trial, faith to be at peace with God in a certain trial. These are ways of cultivating faith. The ordinances that we have, baptism, that's a wonderful show of faith. The Lord's Supper, that's a way, a wonderful way of exercising faith. If you neglect the Lord's Supper, well, your faith will start to dwindle. It doesn't seem like much, meeting and taking of the bread and the cup. But these are all ways of cultivating our faith. If you neglect them, you will see your faith will dwindle and will struggle. Attendance at church, not forsaking the gathering together, to be with the household of faith. And I've said many times from this pulpit, when you attend, you have fellowship one with another, and through your discussions, you learn how to have faith. You hear about the experiences of other people and the things that have happened in their own lives. And that gives you more faith. This brother had to go through a great trial. He came out and he was blessed. He was strengthened. That gives me more faith. Attendance, not forsaking the services and the worship. It gives us faith. It increases our faith. And indeed, in the letter of Jude, we have that exhortation, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. We are to build up ourselves to greater faith together. And so these are the means by which we endeavor to cultivate our faith. But time is running short, and I just wanted to mention that final part of the verse, above all taking the shield of faith, because there's something specific attached here, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Well, fiery arrows, they were familiar in warfare of the time. Very often the shield would be drenched in water to put out the fiery arrows, the fiery darts that would be used by the attacker against the soldier, against the army. So this was an illustration that could be well understood. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, of Satan himself. And how important this is. You know, Satan attacks us. Even when we begin to approach the Lord, we all know this, seekers, young seekers, they will always be attacked by Satan, by his fiery darts, throwing in doubts, saying to them, the salvation of the Lord is not for you. The Lord is not personally calling you. You are too sinful. Your friends will all reject you, as we were saying this morning. You'll have no friends. You will be miserable. All of these fiery darts, they start even before we are actually Christian. When we seek the Lord, those fiery darts will come and attack us. Well, it's faith, of course. Those with faith will prevail. That is how we overcome the fiery darts of the wicked, just believing what the Lord has said. Those without faith, of course, will fall by the wayside. They will never get through the wicket gate. But those with faith, they will overcome. Satan, he fires his fiery darts at us, always seeking to distract us. So many things we could say. Satan, of course, will in the church, we'll try and infiltrate with false doctrine. And what is our shield against false doctrine? We have the Word of God. We'll speak about the Word of God in due time. But that is our shield. We have the Word of God. We know the Word of God. We trust in the Word of God. that protects us from false doctrine, worldliness Satan will try to infiltrate into the church. We have the shield of faith. We don't need worldly gimmicks to save souls. We don't need worldly gimmicks. Again, when churches take up worldly things, worldly music, worldly preaching, jokes, never speaking about sin, really it's a lack of faith. It's a lack of faith in the Word of God. Oh, people will never believe the Bible. If you just preach the Bible, nobody's going to be saved. That's a lack of faith. And so they have to turn to the world. This will bring them in. If I bring in the loud music, this is all faithless acts. We have the shield of faith. This word, even this word, in a society such as this, we have faith that it can save people and save them to the uttermost. The shield of faith. All of these things Satan will fire at us. We can resist temptation, of course. If I just turn back to Hebrews 11, we read of Moses. These words are so wonderful and inspiring us. They ought to inspire us to greater faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. What faith, dear friends, this is the faith we ought to have. The world will tempt us to sin. Just sin, gratify your flesh. But the faith that Moses had, he was willing to suffer affliction because he knows there's something greater, there's something higher. The blessing of the Lord is far greater than the fleeting pleasures of this life, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Do we think of the reward? We don't need to grovel in this earth looking for worldly pleasures. We have an eternal reward. We can afford to forsake all the pleasures of this world. Why? Because we have faith that we have that eternal inheritance, and it will be so worth it. The suffering, the afflictions of this life, of this world, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. That's our faith. So we don't have to seek the things of this world. That's faith. Satan will tempt us. Just indulge now. You only live once. But by faith, we look ahead to eternity. We don't need these things. We have the Lord. We have heaven. We have respect unto the recompense of the reward. So we always keep eternity in view. And even if we do fall into sin, dear friends, well, Satan again will come with his fiery darts. You are not worthy of heaven. You are not a true Christian. Well, again, how do we overcome? We overcome by faith. Faith in Christ. Faith in his atoning work on Calvary's cross. Christ has paid my sin debt. Yes, I know I'm a sinner, but Christ has paid my sin debt in full by his precious blood. And he is even now at the right hand of God. He's my advocate. He is my high priest. There is nothing Satan can say against you because Christ is interceding at the right hand of the Father. So yes, we sorrow over sin, but we never despair because of our faith. Christ has saved me once and for all. He has saved me to the uttermost. And so I have faith. Satan, he can throw his fiery darts, but we have that shield. We have that mighty shield of faith that keeps us from despair, that keeps us from fear, that we can use in every situation, versatile, protects us from spiritual despondency and grief. This is the shield of faith. May the Lord help us to employ this shield so vital, so essential. May the Lord bless us with greater faith. Amen.